Okay, we're looking at hearing the voice of God, and it's not as mystical as people have portrayed it, because most of the time it's portrayed as something that only certain people hear. You have to be super spiritual and all this type thing. And the bottom line is people don't recognize what they're not looking for. In most cases, you can look at something and not see something. You ever done it? Yeah. And we all have. And I think it's that way with the Lord. You can miss the Lord, not because He's not trying to convey a message, but because we're not paying attention. And then there's another side. This afternoon, I was really just thinking about this and pondering on it from... I'm going to lay the study guide down for a minute, okay? Pondering on it from a natural perspective, and I think this will really help us, okay? You can relate to this or relate this to home, or you can relate it to work, to someone communicating to you, or you communicating to someone else. But I was just thinking about, in relation to my dad, okay? There were times like my dad would tell me what his desire was for me. But then I could go for days, and he's not saying that. You understand? But he's wanting me to talk to him, you know, just to carry a conversation. But every day is not a day of, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I believe if you really got in tune, he'd say, I told you yesterday or last week or whatever. So what I'm wanting you to do is fulfill that task, and when you get that task fulfilled, I'll give you another task. And you know, that's the way it is with employer-employee relationship. You know, when I assigned guys jobs, I didn't go out there and look over the shoulder and talk to them all the time. I signed the job. This is what I want done. Then I expect them to do that, and then when they get through doing that job, we assign another job. Well, it's no different with the things of God. The Lord will prompt you, your heart, or whatever, through the Word, by the Spirit, something you should do or something you should stop doing or whatever the case may be. And He's waiting for you to finish that task. Now, do this task. Then, I'll give you next step. But why would He give me step two if I'm not taking step one? This is where a lot of people are. They want the architectural drawing before they ever start. Give me the finished blueprint. And that's not the way life works. It's communication along the way. God is not wanting us to just ask Him every day of our lives, you know, give me, give me, give me. The Lord would like for us to just say, I love you. I really appreciate the way you've blessed my life. And I just thank you that I have the confidence that all day long you're going to be with me. And that you're inside me. So it's just a privilege to walk in the presence of the Lord. And I thank you that if I need prompting, you'll prompt me. You understand? But it's not like God is giving direct orders every day. And I was thinking of this also from a military perspective. You know, I would get my orders. And then what they expect me to do is what they told me to do. And after I've done what they told me to do, they'll give me some more. You understand? So will the Lord. Who wants you to fulfill your purpose more you or the Lord. I'll promise you that God is wanting your life maximized for the kingdom of God. So why would He withhold? Truth is, He won't withhold. But there's a role that we play. We're responsible for doing what we know to do. And so until you do what you know to do, don't expect to find out something else. Finish that task. And then wait for your assignment. Michaela, if you would, I'd like for you to pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 14 through 16. I believe there's some things we can really learn from this passage of Scriptures. It says, but the natural man, it's talking about the physical man, okay, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. God does not speak by the Spirit to the natural man. God speaks by the Spirit to the spirit of man. Because the natural man does not understand the spiritual things that God is presenting or saying, okay? He said, for they are foolishness to him. I'll give you a good example of this. How many people think tongues is foolish? Many people, thousands of people, millions of people, they think it's foolish. Why? Because they're trying to figure it out naturally. And it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Yet the same people don't think foreign languages are foolish. How many languages are there in the world? You don't know? I don't know, but I can tell you this. God speaks all of them. And I see two categories of languages. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues or the languages of men or of angels. And so I see there's language that angels speak, there's language that people speak. Now, angels would be a spiritual language, wouldn't it? Men are natural language. Do you know if you started talking to me in German, or if you started talking to me in Swahili, you might as well be speaking in tongues because you are. I do not understand a word you say. You with me? And so it is with the languages that God chooses to use people to speak in or through, that they speak through people in these languages. But your natural mind can't comprehend that. Your natural mind says, this is crazy. Even to the person that's first baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's crazy to you. This is weird. You understand? Because it doesn't make sense. It's unreasonable. You with me? But in the Spirit is a witness. This is God. I'm doing by the Spirit what I cannot naturally do. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So the spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. And so he goes on to say, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man, through your senses, through your reasoning, you cannot understand spiritual things. It's an impossibility. So spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You with me? And here again, I'm not talking about anything spooky. I'm just talking about there's an inward man and an outward man. The outward man doesn't understand the inward man. It's that simple. But the inward man, let's see, I didn't read all of it. Let's go on reading. But the inward man knows all about the natural man. Now look at this. But he who is spiritual, I don't like this translation, it's not judges, but he discerns all things. He who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is not discerned of anyone. The natural man can't figure him out. But he has the natural man figured out. He has him examined. So he has a decision on the natural. And then he goes on to say, for who has known the mind of the Lord? You tell me any human being, any natural person who knows the mind of the Lord. In other words, simply speaking, God gives you His thoughts. What natural man can understand the thoughts of God? He can't. He said, who can instruct God? Who can teach God? What natural man can teach God? But he goes on and says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, how is that? By natural means or by spiritual means? In other words, in the Spirit, we can pick up on the thoughts of God. But you're not going to do it in the natural. God speaks to us by the Spirit, through the Spirit, not through the senses, not through reasoning. And it's amazing to me how many preachers use natural means to try to determine the will of God. Well, I'll try this, and if it works, then it'll be God. If it don't work, then I'll just take it's not God. That's no way to judge anything. That's a natural judgment. That's not a spiritual discernment. You with me? And I can tell you that you can go somewhere and things work for you that'll be disastrous for you later on. And you want to accuse God. And the bottom line, God didn't send you there. God's going to speak to you by the Spirit, not by the circumstances per se. You with me? Those are natural. And so we're not trying to hear God from the natural. We want to hear God from the Spirit. Just because there's a need, we hear there's a need, doesn't mean that you just run over there and try to meet the need. You get direction first. Then you go to meet the need after you get the direction. But so often we've fallen flat on our faces in failure because we've acted presumptuously rather than having instruction by the Spirit. That make sense to you? Okay. So with these things in mind, you have to establish first off, if I'm going to hear God, it's not going to be through my natural eyes, my natural ears, my reasoning and these natural faculties is not the way I hear God. I hear God in the Spirit. Okay? That's the way you're going to hear it. Now, he also tells us that, let me just say this. You have to give your attention to God if you want to hear God. And I am convinced that if you give your life to the Lord and you start paying attention to the Lord, you're going to know when things are not the Lord, when things are contrary to the Lord. You'll know it. And this is another way you hear God. It's not through a voice. It's not through something you read. There are times that all of a sudden you know something. You just know something. You can know not to do it, or you can know to go with it. You follow me? Or you can even know something about someone that the Lord is wanting you to speak into their life. You follow me? That's God talking to us, but how did you know that? By the Spirit. There's no natural way you could have known that. But you know it by the Spirit. Right? Another way God speaks. The key to knowing the difference between the thoughts of man and the thoughts or the voice of God is to be led by the Spirit. No wonder he said be led by the Spirit. That is a mandate, really. It's not just an option. If you'd like to, follow the Spirit. That's not what he said. I've learned that that I can't judge spiritual things in my natural mind. And, you know, growing up in the church I did and all this, you know, people, they made fun of things of the Spirit. Now, I was in a spiritual church. I was a heathen in a spiritual church, but I was, you know, indoctrinated into the things to where I thought a lot of stuff was funny. And, you know, some of it was entertainment, and some of it was scary to me. You understand? I thought, I've seen things I knew that the natural man couldn't do. And especially knowing the people and all this, and it'll get your attention, you understand, and to where you think, man, I can't explain this. And I want to, let me just put this out here. There cannot be a counterfeit without a truth. But isn't it amazing how much time people spend on the counterfeit and saying that that's not God, that's not God, that's not God, without ever having the realization God can do some things. But they want to discredit all the counterfeit, and it should be, don't misunderstand me, but they don't want to give credit to the real. Why? Because it's something spiritual and they can't understand it. Okay? But they can discredit all this other stuff because it's operating naturally. You understand? Unless it's demonic, and then that's the wrong spirit for sure. So, we have to move beyond the natural mind and start looking at things by the Spirit. You know, this morning we were talking about we were doing some teaching in ministerial counseling and how really a minister is not a counselor, he's a teacher of the Word of God. And so what you're doing when someone comes to you for counsel, you're giving them the principles of the Scripture or the Scripture itself. And so when they walk away, they got the counsel of God. Jesus is a wonderful counselor, you understand. And so they get the Word of God, not the opinion of a person, not a philosophy, you understand. But they actually get the truth. Now, what I found over the years is most people don't like truth because truth confronts you. And when you give a person the truth, they have to make a decision of whether or not they're going to change or they're going to justify their actions. And so often it's countered when you make a statement, it's countered by, but you don't understand. And I have an answer for that. It's not up to me to understand. It's up to you to understand that this is God's Word and this is truth. Do you understand that? God's not going to change for you. And if you want to come out of your situation, you're going to have to change to where you get in alignment with the Word of God. God's talking, but they're not listening. And people will sometimes say, how about giving me your opinion on this? Now, I'm going to say right off, you don't need my opinion. My opinion is worthless. You need to know what God says about this. Now, my opinion may be what God says, but if I just give you my opinion, you won't take it from God, you'll take it from a man. But if I tell you what the Scriptures say, if I give you the principles of the Word of God, then you're going to take that from God, not from a person. It's not an opinion, it is a mandate from God. There is a difference. You follow me? Now, do you realize God speaks more than we pay attention to? God will tell us things we don't like what He says. You know, there's times in the Bible where it talks about God sent a prophet to the king, and the king said, who made you the king's counselor? Not wanting to hear what God has to say. You understand? And a lot of people are like that today. We need God's Word abiding in our heart. And the only way that's going to happen is you stay subjected to it on a regular basis, to where it becomes a part of your life. You understand? You don't separate the Word from your life. It's not something you do on weekends. It's something you live all during the day. You're living out the Word of God. Same way with the Spirit of God. It's not just that you have an occasional spiritual encounter with God. You make yourself aware at all times, God's in me. I'm a spirit being. You know, when my children were young and growing up in the house, this was regular for a while, when I would walk by and I'd just say, "Who are you?" And I'd already give them an answer. "I'm a spirit with soul that lives in a body." That's the answers they're supposed to give me. And they can probably tell you that answer today. Now here's what I'm wanting them to see. The you is in the house. The house is not the you. Don't let the house rule you. You rule the house. You with me? Don't go with the flow. Garbage floats downstream. And that's what I tell them often. It doesn't take any effort to go downstream. But it takes effort to swim upstream. Don't be like the crowd. I asked one of them one time, I said, "Let me ask you something." He'd been into something. I said, "Are you a follower or a leader?" "Well, I'm a leader." I said, "Well, why are you always following people to do dumb stuff? If you're a leader, you set the pace." I'm telling you, the church should be setting the pace in the United States of America. The church should not be following the world. The world should be looking at the church. The church should be so in tune with God and so effective for God that it would get the attention of the world. But until the church starts paying attention to God, they're not going to be effective for God. That make sense? Good. Now, I'm coming to this conclusion that one who's led by the Spirit recognizes the voice of God. Because one who's led by the Spirit is not listening naturally, he's listening spiritually. It's not that he doesn't hear natural things. He doesn't pay any attention to it. And some people call that selective hearing. It is. And I'm telling you right now, you need to develop your selective hearing to where you tune out things that aren't God and you tune in to the things that are God, and then you become more proficient in hearing and following the voice of God, as we would say. Okay? Reason and rationale have no place, zero, in determining the voice of God. God doesn't speak to your reason. I said this many years ago and some people took offense to it. I said, God is unreasonable. Because God will have you to do things that will defy your reason. But it'll be right. And so if you're just looking for things that you hear or that you perceive to be reasonable, you're going to miss God. I'm telling you, over the years, the Lord has spoke many unreasonable things to me. Because your head saying, "You don't want to do that." But your heart saying, "You better do that, it's God." And so you make a decision, do I listen to my heart or my head? You listen to your heart and you go in the right direction. You listen to your head and go in the wrong direction. And that gets you in trouble. If one that knows the ways of God actually couldn't easily discern the voice of God. I've been in so many settings and hear preachers preach or teachers teach or whatever, and I'm thinking, you know, you're a good speaker. You just need to be inspired by God. Because what you're saying is not what the Spirit's saying. It's what you learned. Not by the Spirit, but through education. And that's where we are today. And that's why we're in such a shape we're in today. Because there's so much emphasis placed on education and very little emphasis placed on knowing the mind of the Lord by developing in the Spirit, by listening to the Spirit, by training yourself. Now, I'm going to get to that one in a minute. I'm going to get to it right now. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Or put it up on the board if you would. Probably somewhere around 19, some of this going down toward the end of the chapter. Just scroll it down. I'll pick it up here. Let's stop right there. Verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say." In other words, he's talking about the context of this. He's talking about Melchizedek, the high priest. "I would tell you some things, but I can't tell you some things. And here's why." He says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." I have things to say to you, but I don't know how to say them to you because you can't hear what I say. You're listening with natural ears, and what I have to say must be discerned by the Spirit. Okay? Then he goes on, "For when the time you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you." Now look at this. "One teach you again the first principles." In other words, not that one adds to your learning, but that one goes back to the basic fundamentals and teach you the basic fundamentals again. "Of the oracles of God have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Here's what he's saying. Is that the time you should be eating food, you should be mature enough to eat solid food, you're still on the bottle. Like babies, you know, there's a point in time, there's a period of time that baby's on the bottle. But my goodness, at 18? That would be weird, wouldn't it? But yet you have people that sit in the church 20, 30 years, and if you give them anything other than milk, it'll choke them to death. They can't handle strong meat of the Word. Why? Because they're still looking for everything to be natural, to where I can reason this out, that it appeals to my senses, and if it doesn't, I have to reject it. That's why people don't hear the Lord. Because they're looking in the wrong direction. He says, "For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness," because he's a baby. He doesn't know how to use the word of righteousness because he's a baby. In other words, he does not know how to apply the word of God to his life. And God speaks through his word, through the written word. And we need to learn how to apply that to our lives as well. Okay? Then let's go on to developing our hearing. Potential is what could be. And everybody has potential in some area. But the sad part is so often what could be becomes what should have been. Because the potential was never developed. You could have the potential to be a good singer or a good musician or whatever, but until you start applying that, until you start developing and training in that potential, it's always you could have, you could have, you could have, but why didn't you? Lack of interest. In most cases, it's lack of interest. That's where people are spiritually. It's not that they couldn't do things for God, but it's lack of interest. They have more interest in the natural than they do in the spiritual, so they don't develop their spiritual potential. And consequently, They don't even know God's talking to them about this, that, or the other. Interesting. You know, back many, many years ago, I remember it was on a Wednesday night, in a Wednesday night service, I was just prompted to do this. I was just telling the people, and it came from the song, singing to the Lord a new song. Now, how many churches singing to the Lord a new song? If you're in the old traditional church, you take your hymnal, turn the page, whatever, and we'll sing the first, second, third, and last stanza, whatever, you know, depending on how many verses are in it. And okay. Or, if you're in a modern-day church, we'll sing it off of the wall. Project it, and we'll sing it off of the wall. Well, I've been in both services, you know, where traditional and the other. But here's what I find. If I'm trying to read it, my mind's not on the Lord. I need to be concentrating on the Lord. How am I going to worship the Lord? Naturally or spiritually? Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, know this, and in truth. Okay? And a lot of people, I think most people do what I call pseudo-worship. They're deceived. They think they're worshiping God, and really they're just enjoying the experience of singing and a little bit of emotion, get involved in it. But where is the Spirit of God in all this? You follow me? And I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you why we're not hearing the voice of God, because we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves with religious stuff. You understand? So that Wednesday night, I was just telling the church, I said, you know, everybody in here, you have the potential of singing to the Lord a new song. And I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take a service and we're going to write a song. And so everybody's going to participate. So we're going to start with the subject. I don't even remember what it was. But this is going to be the title of the song. And then, so tell me what your thought is on that title. And somebody would have a thought. Another person would have a thought. Another person would have a thought. So we wrote a song. You have the potential of doing that at any time. And a good way to start that is just start by singing in the Spirit. You know, there's times I've been singing in the Spirit, and then I'm just singing in English and understanding what I'm saying. And it's not a song in the songbook or off the wall. It's just something that comes out of the heart. You understand? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still and I'll reveal myself and you will see the God of health. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. You understand? You just get in the presence of God. It's in you. It's in you. People think that's somebody special. I understand there's giftings and all that, but you know, some people might write 100. You can do one. You're with me? And you can, if you just start listening and what's happening, you're getting things out of the Spirit. It starts off in the logic, in the natural, but then it starts coming up on the inside. And by the time that service was over, it had a pretty good song there. And I had people to come to me after service. They said, that's one of the best things we've ever done. Because it showed them they could do something that they would have told you they couldn't do. Why? It's causing you to step out of your comfort zone and to step in an area. We call it stretching ourselves. That's where you're going to hear God. When you get out of this area to where you're so familiar with it, that you're telling everything what it is rather than hearing God telling you how it should be. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So when I looked at this scripture in Hebrews 5, where it says, the King James Version, I don't like the translation, It says where you're training your senses. You're training your perception. You're training yourself to be more perceptive in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, Michaela, if you would pull up that, verse 14. Pull that up in the English, the English Standard Version. Just click on it up there at the top, fourth one down. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. We all have the powers of discernment, but they're not trained. Not senses. See, senses takes it into a natural realm. He's not talking about senses. He's talking about perception, to where you're picking things up in the spirit realm rather than out of the natural realm. And you train yourself to do that, or you people will help train you to do that. That's exactly what we're doing right here with this study, is training you to stop looking at things from a natural perspective and to start discerning things with the perception that you've had since the time you were born, but you just haven't used it. And so what are we telling you to do? Use it. Time's up, and she's telling me to shut up. Okay, so I will.